I don't know if you've heard of John Ortberg, but he's written a number of books, and one of them called The Life You've Always Wanted. I'm going to read an excerpt and see if you resonate with this. In this book, he starts and he says, I look at my children as they sleep at night, and I think of the kind of father I want to be. I want to create moments of magic. I want them to remember just laughing until their tears flowed. I want to have slow, sweet talks with them, just as they're getting ready to close their eyes at night. I want to chase fireflies with them. I want to teach them all how to play tennis, have food fights with them, and hold them and pray for them in a way that, well, makes them feel cherished. I look in on them, though, and then I begin to remember how the day actually went. I remember how they were trapped in a fight over a game, and I just couldn't stand it, and I had to leave the room. I just didn't have the energy to stop and try to teach them how to deal with conflict. And I remember how my daughter spilled some cherry punch at dinner, and I yelled at her. So much so, she probably thought she had some type of character flaw. Because here's the thing, I spill punch too, and nobody yells at me. So in truth, I really yelled at her because I'm bigger than she is and I could get away with it. I remember how at nights, I haven't had those slow, sweet talks with my children, but I've merely rushed them off to bed just so I can have time to be by myself. And that's a stream of thought that Ortberg goes on to say just causes him to know that the gap between who he wants to be is wide and deep from who he actually is, in both his actions and his attitude. So wide that he'd constantly be discouraged and depressed in his role as a dad, as a husband, as a friend, neighbor, and as a human being in general, if it weren't for his relationship with Christ. And that's essentially what Paul is telling us in the passage that we read earlier from Romans chapter 7, verses 12 through 25. As we continue to study Paul's gospel of grace, his letter to the early church in Rome, and this particular section of Scripture, as we said last week, scholars have long debated the meaning of. They fill pages, even books, just on this chapter of Romans. And yet, it has brought relief to so many generations of believers as they read through it. Relief, since here's where Paul confesses his struggles. The war that rages within him between his new self in Christ and his old sinful nature. And here's the hope and here's the strength that it's given generations of believers when they think, hey, if such a great Christian as Paul, is there any greater Christian, has these kind of struggles, then maybe there's hope for me. As in verses 15 to 17, Paul said, I don't really understand myself. I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It's a sin in living in me that does it. NIV translates verse 17, says, but I can't help myself, because it's a sin inside me that makes me do these evil things. And Paul doesn't leave it there. He goes on to emphasize that in verse 20. He adds, but if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really doing the one doing wrong. It's the sin living in me that does it. Now we read this, and on first glance, and it just sounds like he's trying to shift the blame. I'm not responsible for the wrong that I do. He's like Flip Wilson, he's saying, the devil made me do it. That's what it sounds like, but that's not really what he was getting at. He knew he couldn't shift the blame for the things that he did wrong. No one can. He was simply telling us, giving us the insight of how sin will never stop trying to get the best of you. It'll never stop. The sense of how people need to realize, they need to be aware of how everyone possesses this natural, sinful nature in him. It's very real. It's very powerful. And potentially very destructive if left unchecked. A presence, a force. That's malevolent. It's hard to control in every person's life. And that fully controls a person until they place their faith in Jesus Christ. For that's when the Holy Spirit comes to reside in a believer. According to Ephesians 3:16, the Spirit of Christ. And that's when there begins a tug of war. Because Paul's suggesting that when the Spirit comes to live in a person, the Spirit doesn't immediately completely push out that old sinful nature, doesn't destroy that old sinful nature, doesn't put that old sinful nature to death. But what he's suggesting here is somehow they coexist. And they conflict. And they war with one another within a believer's inner self, causing every believer to kind of have a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type of spiritual existence in which the believer's new higher nature, given him by the Holy Spirit's influence, conflicts and wars with his old, coarse, sinful self, a sinful nature that never gives up. And we can understand why, because back in chapter 7, verses 11 and 12, right in the midst of Paul saying, the law is holy, meaning those who follow God's law are set apart as God's people, that the law is right, that it's just, that it treats people fairly, and as you live by the law, if you could perfectly, you'd be right with God. Because his nature is reflected in his law. And it's good. People who follow God's law have less complications in life, fewer problems. It's good to follow God's law. Well, right in the midst of that, Paul says that sin took advantage of those commands, God's law, and it deceived me. NIV version says, it fooled me. It took the good law and it used it to make me feel guilty. So reading between the lines, he's just saying that sin takes every opportunity to seize control and lead a person to sin, to do the things he doesn't really want to do. He knows that it's wrong. Sin is all about destroying and messing up your life. I grew up in a small town, not as small as Dells. Hers was less than 1,000 people. But it was still small enough so that people really didn't lock their doors at night. We had neighbors that would leave the keys in the ignition in their cars. Didn't worry about anybody stealing anything. Until, finally, a house was robbed. Cleaned out. And once people knew there was a malevolent influence roaming the streets, what did people do? They rushed down to the hardware store. They bought padlocks for their sheds. They got deadbolts for their doors. And they began taking the keys to the car inside the house. And while there's no lock, there's no alarm you can buy to protect you, you need to keep your spiritual guard up against having your old sinful nature pop up and make your life miserable. You need to keep your old malicious self, your Mr. Hyde nature. It's always just below the surface. It's hiding in your heart from taking control. And how do you do that? Well, if you read this, Paul says, you can't. You can't on your own. That's the greatest insight he gives us in this whole passage. He says you can't win the war against your old sinful self by yourself. Because look at the comparison he makes in verse 14. He calls the law spiritual. Then he says of himself, he's only human. NIV, the comparison is spiritual law versus how he lives in the flesh. So what he's getting at is that sin is not an enemy you can grab by the throat. It's not an enemy you can beat off with a stick. It takes spiritual weapons to fight a spiritual sin. Where do you get those? Verse 24 and 25, Paul said, "Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that's dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is Jesus Christ our Lord." And when you listen to Jesus in John 15, 5, he reinforced that message, because that's the famous verse where he called himself the vine. And how we as believers all are like the branches. And he said, "Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." In other words, if you want to avoid, stay away from sin, you got to stay with Jesus. If you want to put to death that old sinful self, you need to stay connected to the Lord. And how do you do that? How do you stay away from sin? Practically, by physically staying away from it. By avoiding those places and those situations where you're likely to be tempted to sin. For example, if you're somebody who has a trouble maxing out the credit cards when you go shopping at the mall, then don't go to the mall. If you have trouble not losing your temper with a bad call in a ball game, then don't turn the TV on and watch the game. And on the spiritual side, stay connected with the Lord means getting into God's Word, opening your Bibles and reading them. Even at times when you don't always understand, it helps you to spend time with the Lord. It brings you to pray, to share with the Lord and to ask Him for the strength, the power to overcome your struggle with sin. And of course, another insight Paul gives is that the inner war you wage with your old sinful self, it's a lifetime challenge. It's a lifetime challenge. So while you have the great and worthy goal of holiness, every believer should, you won't get discouraged when you fall short. Because as long as you live and breathe, sin will always plague you. It will always plague you. Your old sinful self will continue to war against your new life in Christ. As long as you're in the body, you'll have this inner battle with sin. And this is true for everyone, even for Paul. Verse 15, he said, "I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate." And then in verses 18 and 19, Paul adds, "I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway." And this is the relief that's given to generations of believers. When Paul's expressing his own frustration, he didn't write this when he'd just become a believer. He wrote this at least 20 years after he'd become a Christian. 20 years of following Christ, and yet he's still struggling with his sinful inner self. And the truth is, you and I are no different. We're no different. For until you reach perfection, your behavior should always bother you. You should always feel like you can do better. You should always want to do better. I say, until you reach perfection. You know you never will, at least not on this side of eternity. So it's going to be a daily struggle against sin that you're going to have to fight. It's a lifelong challenge, but it's when you never give up fighting. You never give up fighting. You just have to accept it and connect with the Lord. And know there's going to be times, days, when you're going to feel like you're losing more than you're winning. That's just the way that it is. But instead of giving up, you need to just get up and try again each day, every day, day after day. And to help you with that tension between who you are in Christ and your old sinful nature, God's given us freedom from His law. That's not how He's going to judge us, not by our performance, how well we keep the law, but by whether or not our faith is in Christ. So you don't need to worry about His forgiveness. He will forgive you time after time after time. You may suffer the earthly consequences of your sin. You know, the extra weight from overeating, the loss of a friendship because you've told a lie. But God will forgive you. He will give you as many second chances as you need. You won't lose your salvation. God's grace guarantees it. Said in previous weeks, His infinite grace is not a license to sin, but you know that when you have His grace, you can go to Him to receive His forgiveness to go on. And His grace will, if anything, help you to sin less. You'd be so appreciative of His love and forgiveness that you won't want to continue to hurt Him with your sin. And you'll begin to enjoy an ever-increasing number of victories rather than defeats as you wage war with your old sinful self. You see, God's goal for you is to be good. As we said so many times, it's for you to become ever more like Jesus. So hang in there. Even when you feel those Jekyll and Hyde moments start to spring up, when you feel yourself struggling, hang in there. As Paul goes on, Romans 8:37, it says, we are more than conquerors. NIV version of Scripture. We're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Cling to Christ. You will repeatedly feel yourself claiming the victory toward becoming who you want to be. And this is what we're reminded of as we come to Christ's table today. Let us pray.